chapter 2. We left off last week. Looks like we left off in verse 10. And we're going to get into the message here, or the lesson here. But just once again, let's do a little bit of a overview of the book here. He sets Habakkuk, he says in 2:1, he sets him to be a watchman. And he gives five different warnings, woe unto him. And that job of the watchman is to give a warning, but this is what I want you to see here, that there's a witness. With the warning, there's always a witness. Okay, and so we've got a lot of doctrinal stuff we've gotten into, but never forget to understand and apply the spiritual or practical application to your own life. Okay, and so he's given a witness here. Look at verse 11. Talking about these that have consulted shame to thy house by cutting off many people and sin against thy soul. And he's talking about them that they've set their nest on high. They've tried to prepare themselves. They've tried to shield themselves from the dangers that are coming by their money, their gold, their silver, all those different things. And we'll see that over in the book of James. You can see that in the tribulation time. But you see that here. But notice he says in verse 11, for the stone shall cry out of the wall and the beam out of the timber shall answer it. So there's a witness against that person, whoever's doing those things, and establishing a city by iniquity and blood. And that's exactly what you see. Look at over here in Luke 19. We'll see what the Lord says in Luke 19. There's always a witness. Look at Luke 19. You ever wonder why the Lord chose a devil to be one of his disciples? Because he had a witness. The devil couldn't say anything against him because Judas Iscariot walked with him for 3.5 years and he could never convince anybody of sin that the Lord Jesus Christ ever did. He's got a witness. He's always got a witness. Look at over here and it says, look at Luke 19:37. And when he was come nigh, even now at the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen. Saying, blessed be the King that cometh in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven, and glory in the highest. Notice this, and some of the Pharisees from among the multitude said unto him, Master, rebuke thy disciples. Well, it shows you right there, the Pharisees are always trying to shut up God's people. Amen. They always get upset when God's people get excited about the Lord Jesus Christ. But look at this in verse 40. And he answered and said unto them, I tell you that if these should hold their peace, the stones would immediately cry out. He's got a witness in the earth. Amen. Look at Joshua 24. God always has a witness. Joshua 24. Joshua 24, and he's talking about, Joshua says in verse 15, choose you this day whom you will serve. And they say, we will serve the Lord. And he said, ye cannot serve. Look at verse 19. Joshua said unto the people, ye cannot serve the Lord, for he is an holy God. He is a jealous God. He will not forgive your transgressions nor your sins. Notice this, verse 20, if you forsake the Lord and serve strange gods. All right, he says he's not going to forgive that. Idol worship is one of the most grievous sins that you'll see in the Old Testament. It's talked about all throughout the Old Testament. Idol worship and sins of the tongue. Those are the two most talked about sins in the Old Testament and the New Testament. Amen. Now look at verse 26. He says, and Joshua wrote these words in the book of the law of God and took a great stone and set it up there under an oak that was by the sanctuary of the Lord. And Joshua said unto all the people, behold, this stone shall be a witness unto us, for it hath heard all the words of the Lord which he spake unto us. It shall be therefore a witness unto you, lest ye deny your God. So the stones are going to cry out. They're a witness. Okay, those things are recording everything that you say. Everybody know what a computer chip is made out of? Silicone. What's silicone? It's a stone. Isn't that interesting how that silicone chip can record things? Your phone, it's got silicone chips in it, doesn't it? Look at Matthew 12:36. Look at Matthew 12, verse 36. Look at it says, but I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment. Every idle word, everything that's coming out of your mouth. See, idleness, Now, let's see where that thing comes from. Go back to Ezekiel 16. Look at Ezekiel 16. Look at 48, verse 48 and 49. Ezekiel 16. It's one of those harsh chapters in the Bible. Ezekiel 16, 48. As I live, saith the Lord God, Sodom thy sister hath not done, she nor her daughters, as thou hast done, thou and thy daughters. Now who's he talking to? Jerusalem, right? Behold, this was the iniquity of thy sister Sodom. Notice the first thing, pride. Fullness of bread and abundance of idleness was in her and in her daughters, neither did she strengthen the hand of the poor and needy. You see the idleness? Got a lot of time on their hands. You know the danger of you having a lot of time on your hands? You'll start biting and devouring one another. Every idle word is going to be judged in that day of judgment. Things will start coming out of your mouth because they're in your heart. You got too much time on your hands. You need to stay busy doing something that's positive, something for the Lord. And I'm not saying this because I'm so super spiritual. I'm saying this because these are things I need to do. Okay, anytime that you start getting too much time by yourself, that idleness leads to devilment. Amen. Especially with these things here. Amen. So those images and everything that you might put in your mind because you've got too much time on your hands, but where's it start? Pride. The pride of thine heart hath deceived thee, right? Notice how it started in Sodom. It didn't start with sodomy. It started with pride. Fullness of bread, had a lot to eat. Didn't have to go out and labor for anything anymore. Didn't have to work with their own hands. It was just given to them. Amen? And then abundance of idleness. That's what takes place in the human mind. And if you're not careful, that thing will corrupt you. All right, so there's a witness. Go back to Habakkuk. So we got a witness against those. And he said, the stone shall cry out of the wall and the beam out of the timber shall answer it. In the house that he's talking about, all right, you build a house this way and those things are going to be witnesses against you. I wonder if everybody, if your house could talk, the things that take place in your house. What would it witness against you? Amen. The altar's open. I'll be there first. Amen. So those are things to think about, right? So don't ever lose the spiritual, practical application here of what he's saying. Notice verse 12. Woe to him that buildeth a town with blood and establisheth a city by iniquity. Woe to who? Woe to him. Woe to anybody. Okay, there's things that are laid down in the scripture that if you don't learn from history, then you're doomed to repeat those things. Okay, so we understand there's going to be a doctrinal and prophetic thing here concerning Jerusalem in the tribulation and the world in general, but you need to understand that, listen, man, this is a general principle laid down from Genesis to Revelation. Let's look at the first city ever set up. Who sets the thing up? Look at Genesis. Genesis chapter 4, verse 17. Notice verse 16 first. And Cain went out from the presence of the Lord and dwelt in the land of Nod and on the east of Eden. Notice he goes away from the presence of God. And Cain knew his wife, and she conceived and bare Enoch. And he builded a city and called the name of the city after the name of his son, Enoch. Notice he's trying to, he's proud of his posterity, right? That's his son. He names a city after his son. All right, but he's the first murderer in the Bible, isn't he? He establishes a city by blood. Look at Genesis 10:10. We read about another city. It's a kingdom. Who begets this one? Who sets this one up? Nimrod, actually his father Cush. In the beginning of his kingdom was Babel, and Arach, and Akkad, and Calneh, and the land of Shinar. Notice this, verse 11. Out of that land went forth Asher, and builded Nineveh, a city of Rehoboth, of Calah, and Razan between Nineveh and Calah, the same as a great city. It's a great big city, right? So Nineveh was the capital as far as a political capital of Assyria, but the religious capital is Babel. All right, and it's called the kingdom of idols. So you've got a city established by blood, by idolatry. All right, look at Genesis 13:13. Genesis 13:13, it says, but the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. All right, so the descendants of Cain, Canaan, are the ones who set up Sodom and Gomorrah. See the wickedness taking place? You got to watch out When everybody gets, he said, woe to them who join house to house in Isaiah chapter 5. All right, when you start getting everybody together, and you got pride, right? You got fullness of bread and abundance of idleness, what takes place? Every wicked thing to the imagination. That's what iniquity takes place in those cities. Okay, some of your largest cities in America are some of the biggest hotbeds of crime. There's murder, there's adultery, there's all those things that take place. Because that's what happens when you get people together. They kick God off the throne. They say, well, we progressed. We've gotten past those things. That's where America's at, right? Amen? A lot of cities. All right, look at Isaiah chapter 1. Let's look at Isaiah chapter 1. He's talking to Israel, talking to Jerusalem here. Look at Isaiah chapter 1, verse 9. Isaiah chapter 1, verse 9. Except the Lord of hosts had left unto us a very small remnant, we should have been as Sodom, and should have been like unto Gomorrah. Hear the word of the Lord, ye rulers of Sodom. Give ear unto the law of our God, ye people of Gomorrah. So he's likening Israel, Jerusalem specifically, to Sodom and Gomorrah. Now, what's that thing called it over there in Revelation chapter 11? Spiritually, it's called Sodom and Egypt. So what do you think is taking place in that city at that time? Every wicked thing imaginable. That's why God calls it that spiritually. He says, to what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices unto me, saith the Lord? I am full of the burnt offerings of rams and the fat of fed beasts, and I delight not in the blood of bullocks or of lambs or of goats. Their sacrifices don't mean anything to him anymore because it's all in vain. It's just honoring God with your lips, but your heart's far from him. Can you get that way? Well, sure you can. You can come to church that way. You can come in here and just do the do. Just that's what we do and go out there and live like hell on earth and it doesn't matter to you. Because that's what happens, that reprobate mind starts setting in. We'll get into that here in a moment. When ye come to appear before me, who hath required this at your hand to tread my courts? Bring no more vain oblations, incense is an abomination unto me, the new moons and Sabbaths, the calling of assemblies, I cannot away with it. It is iniquity, even the solemn meeting. Your new moon and your appointed feast, my soul hateth. They are a trouble unto me, I am weary to bear them. And when ye spread forth your hands, I will hide mine eyes from you. Yea, when ye make many prayers, I will not hear. Your hands are full of blood. That was Jerusalem. That's why judgment came down upon it. Okay, God must judge sin or he would not be holy. Right? So those things were taking place in Jerusalem, but they are for your example. Look at Hosea. Look at Hosea 4:2. Now, if he did those things to Jerusalem, what do you think he's going to do to the world? He's going to do worse. He's going to do the same thing. Go to Hosea. Look at Hosea 4:1. Hear the word of the Lord, ye children of Israel, for the Lord hath a controversy with the inhabitants of the land, because there is no truth, nor mercy, nor knowledge of God in the land. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. You read that in verse 6, right? By swearing and lying and killing and stealing and committing adultery, they break out and blood touches blood. That's what he's talking about in Isaiah chapter 1. It's established by blood. A city established by iniquity and blood. Amen? That's eventually what she became. All right? So you're seeing those things there. Look at Job 24. He's saying, woe unto him if you establish a city this way. America started out right, didn't it? Went through that, the history of it a little bit. The the pilgrims came over on the Mayflower. What did they come here to do? To spread the gospel. We talked about that before, but wow, how much we've fallen from there. You know, Harvard University and some of the Yale and all the Princeton, you know those things, those Ivy League schools. You know what those things were founded on? What they were there for? To train ministers. They're just hotbeds of heresy now. Just hotbeds of liberalism. And I'm not talking about politics. I'm just talking about just live however you want to. Amen? And that's eventually what they become. If you don't have any checks and balances, if you don't have any authority in your life, that's exactly what your mind will become. Look at this here in Job 24. This here is showing you the condition of the Jew in the tribulation. Look at Job 24:1. Why, seeing times are not hidden from the Almighty, do they know him that know him not to see his days? Some remove the landmarks. They violently take away flocks and feed thereof. They drive away the ass of the fatherless, and they take the widow's ox for a pledge. They turn the needy out of the way. The poor of the earth hideth themselves together. Behold, as wild asses in the desert, they go forth to their work. Rising betimes for a prey in the wilderness yieldeth food for them and for their children. That's what's going to take place in the tribulation when the Jews have to go out there to find their food, and God's going to feed them in the wilderness. All right, but these are the things that are taking place, but the thing's going to repeat itself. Now look down here. These are the ones that are taking away the landmarks, that are persecuting the poor. That's why there's so much emphasis, you'll notice in the book of James, especially on the poor. Okay, he's getting people ready to set up to go through the Daniel's 70th week. We've talked about this before. Anybody in the tribulation, the only way you're going to buy, sell, or trade is how? You got to take the mark. If you don't take the mark, you can't buy, sell, or trade, so you're going to have to get your food from somewhere else. All right, look at verse 13. They are of those that rebel against the light. They know not the ways thereof, nor abide in the paths thereof. Now, what did the Lord tell them in John 3? Hold your place there. Look at John chapter 3. Put this in context. It's a familiar passage, but look at John 3:18. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation. Notice this, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. These are those that rebel against the light. He said, I am the light of the world. Well, without light, you're walking in darkness. And Satan's, the Antichrist kingdom is a kingdom of darkness, Revelation 16:10. Amen? So if you rebel against the light, you're going to walk around in darkness. And back to Job 24. He said, notice this in verse 14, the murderer rising with the light killeth the poor and needy, and in the night is as a thief. The eye also of the adulterer waiteth for the twilight, saying, no eye shall see me, and disguiseth his face. In the dark they dig through houses which they had marked for themselves. In the daytime they know not the light. They're casing a joint. They're walking around in the daytime saying, okay, they're looking at the weaknesses of that. What kind of security do they have? Okay, let's see. Okay, we're going to come in the back door. We're going to do this. We're going to leave out a different way. That's called a raid in the military. Okay, you have a planned entry with a planned withdrawal. You go in and raid something. You're going in there to take something out. That's exactly what they're doing. He says, for the morning is to them even as the shadow of death. If one know them, they are in the terrors of the shadow of death. Okay, the morning, they don't like the morning. So what's coming in the morning? Go to Isaiah chapter 9. Go back to Isaiah chapter 9. Look at verse 2. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 2. Well, look at verse 1. Nevertheless, the dimness shall not be as it was in her vexation, when at the first he lightly afflicted the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, and afterward did no more grievously affect her by the way of the sea beyond Jordan in Galilee of the nations. Now, where's that quoted at? What do you know? It's in Matthew. It's talking about the prophecy of the Lord Jesus Christ at his first advent. Now, look at verse 2. The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined. All right, when the Lord Jesus Christ comes back, he's going to shine upon them. The Son of Righteousness is going to return with healing in his wings. But those that are in darkness, in the kingdom of the Antichrist, the darkness, it's going to be as the shadow of death to them. They don't like the light. Amen? Look at Isaiah 60, verse 1 and 2. Isaiah 60. Arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people, but the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. Who's he talking about? that Jew. That's that remnant we talked about last couple weeks ago, that remnant that's waiting for the Lord to return and that sunrise in the morning. And the Lord Jesus Christ is going to come back, go to Malachi 4. He's going to save his people, which is that Jew, the ones who would not bow down to the image of the Antichrist, who had to flee to the wilderness and get their food and be fed like the days of old. All right, he's going to feed them with manna once again in that wilderness. All right, look at Malachi 4:1. For behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven, and all the proud, yea, and all that do wickedly shall be stubble. And the day that cometh shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts, that it shall leave neither root nor branch. But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings. And he shall go forth and grow up as calves in the stall. And ye shall tread down the wicked, for they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet in the day that I shall do this, saith the Lord of hosts. Second advent of Jesus Christ. That's why the wicked doesn't like the light. Well, whatever doth make manifest is light. Right? So when the Holy Spirit shines light on something, it manifests your sin. And if you don't like that, you're going to run from that light. Right? But if you've got the light, the Word inside of you, what are you going to do? You're going to run to him. Despise not thou the chastening of the Lord. That chastening is for your instruction. It's for your goodness. All right? But if you reject the Word of the Lord, you're going to be destroyed. And that's what takes place. See, the thing is, yeah, I can go back here to Habakkuk, but I'll show you the same principle today, because guess what? Your flesh hadn't changed since Adam. You're susceptible to the very same things that Adam was susceptible to. And if you don't think that, then you're prideful and you're self-righteous and you're puffed up. Amen? All right, going back to Habakkuk. So woe to him that buildeth a town with blood, that establish a city by iniquity. Look at verse 13, Habakkuk 2:13. Behold, is it not of the Lord of hosts that the people shall labor in the very fire, and the people shall weary themselves for very vanity? Let's flip this board, talking about vanity. What does that word vanity mean? It means useless. Okay, let's go to 2 Kings 17 on that note. Look at 2 Kings. Let's get some insight. 2 Kings 17. Let's look at verse 14. Notwithstanding, they would not hear, but harden their necks, like to the neck of their fathers, that did not believe in the Lord their God. And they rejected his statutes and his covenant that he made with their fathers, and his testimonies which he testified against them. Notice this, and they followed vanity and became vain, and went after the heathen that were round about them concerning the Lord, whom the Lord had charged them that they should not do like them. All right, this is the Jews. They were vain in their imaginations. Go back to Romans chapter 1. Let's look at the same pattern. Romans chapter 1. Remember this? We talked about this over a year ago. This is what happened to the Gentiles. And this is what the Jews followed after, the same thing the Gentiles were doing. All right, look at Romans 1:21. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became, notice this, vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. You see that? Became useless. Their hearts were, every imagination of the heart was only evil continually. That's Genesis 6:5. What did God do because of that? He sent a flood. All right? Let's keep going. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. All right, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, into birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things, and became idol worshippers. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. Oh, they're still religious. It said more than. They worshipped the creature more than the Creator. Oh, well, they're polytheistic. See, it's not that they don't worship God, but he's just part of their pantheon of gods. And they worship those idols more than they worship God. See, they're still religious. You know anybody like that? Amen. All right, who changed the truth of God? Verse 26, for this cause God gave them up to vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature, and likewise also them, leaving the natural use of the woman. burning their lust one toward another, men with men working that which is unseemly and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error, which was meet. So what they got, they deserved. That's what he's saying. All right. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, notice this, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, and then they're filled with unrighteousness. All right, so what's reprobate? That's useless. That's useless. Go to Jeremiah 6. Jeremiah chapter 6. Open right to it. That must be spiritual. Look at verse 14. Some of these false prophets are using lightness in their speech. 6:14, they have healed also a herd of the herd of the daughter of my people slightly, saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. They're not preaching the truth. Were they ashamed when they had committed abomination? Nay, they were not at all ashamed, neither could they blush. Therefore they shall fall among them that fall. At the time that I visit them, they shall be cast down, saith the Lord. Why? Their pride. I'm telling you, just folks, just go down here to campus and just see the nakedness that is down there, and nobody blushes, nobody even thinks a thing of it anymore. Right. Exactly. I'm absolutely astounded in the last 10 years of how young people dress nowadays. Yeah. Why? There's no shame. Sure. There's no fear of God. Yeah, right. Look at verse 17. He said, he says, ask for the old path. Y'all know that one, right? Wherein is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein. We don't like the old ways. We don't like the old paths. We want to do it our way. Amen. Also, I set watchmen over you, saying, hearken to the sound of the trumpet. But they said, we would not hearken. That sound of the trumpet was the sound of war in the camp. And they were to set up and go, whoa, something's taking place. Judgment's coming. They didn't listen. Hear, O earth, behold, I will bring evil upon this people, even the fruit of their thoughts, because they have not hearkened unto my words, nor to my law, but rejected it. That's, you'll be destroyed if you reject the word of God. Look now down here, verse 30. Well, see, as a woman in travail, verse 24, okay? You got these bunch of idol worshipers, and this is what they became. In verse 30, he says, reprobate silver shall men call them, because the Lord hath rejected them. Reprobate, useless. So that silver, okay, silver is a purifying metal. It actually kills bacteria. That's why it's a type of the blood. When he numbered the children of Israel, they had to have shekels of silver given, right? And that's what that foundation of that tabernacle, those sockets of the tent itself, those were sockets of silver. That foundation was built on blood, the blood of Jesus Christ, on righteousness, right? But this silver here, it's now become reprobate. It's now become useless silver. The thoughts of their imaginations were only evil continually. All right, so he calls it reprobate. It's useless. Away with it. That's what will happen to your mind. Amen. If you continue to put things in there that don't need to be in there, you say, well, I could never, I'm a Christian, I'm saved. Oh, you know, how about that man in 1 Corinthians chapter 5? He was taking his father's wife. Was he saved?
Yeah.
Well, Paul says he was. He was restored in 2 Corinthians.
Right.
The works of the flesh are manifest. Which are these? Adultery, fornication, lasciviousness, uncleanness,
right.
Unholy, right? He's a saved man. And if you're prideful and you think, well, I could never do that, listen, you just gave place to the devil, because that pride is your problem.
Right.
Oh, I could never, I'm a Christian. Yeah, you're here today, you'll be gone tomorrow.
Oh, yes.
You'll be in here today, and then tomorrow you'll be out living like the devil.
That's right,
I'm telling you, folks, because why? Your flesh was never saved in the first place.
Right.
You got to get that down. You got to understand that works of the flesh, anybody can do that. You think, oh, you might be on top of the mountain super spiritual today, and something happened to you tomorrow and you'd be out there in a drunk tank.
That's right. Right.
Or you'd be out there committing some sort of sin you never thought you'd do.
Right.
Because why? Because you got prideful.
Yeah, right.
Now that's the thing that you have to take into account, is that your flesh is no good. Amen. Paul said, I know that in me that is in my flesh dwelleth no good thing.
Amen.
Your flesh, you were spiritually circumcised from it, but if you feed that flesh more than the spirit, guess who's going to win? That old man is going to take over. And he's going to show up and he's going to wreck your life. How do I know that? I see him every day. He's my biggest problem. It ain't Satan, it's my flesh. And if I don't crucify that flesh, it's going to take over. And every evil work is going to come from that thing. Amen? All right, where are we at here? Useless. That silver became useless. He said, throw it away. Can't use it anymore. It's too polluted with stuff, with garbage. That's what happened. All right, and that's exactly what can happen to you, that vanity. Where does that vanity come from? Idols. Well, your biggest idol is you. Covetousness, which is idolatry. Your flesh wants things and all that. Your biggest problem is you. Your flesh is your biggest idol. Because your flesh, you want to make your flesh comfortable. You want to make things convenient. You think your flesh wanted you to come to Sunday school this morning? I guarantee some of you had to drag your carcass in here. Because it doesn't, much study is a weariness of the flesh. You think my flesh wants to study? No, it doesn't. It wants to sit there and watch stupidity on television. And it wants to flip through my phone and flip through Facebook or whatever social media platform you have because it's just vanity.
Right.
Amen. That's what your flesh wants to do. But you have to condition it. You think my flesh still wants to go out there and hit the roads and run at 40, almost 45 years old? No. But guess what? You create good habits. And those things, eventually, that habit will become who you are. By reading your Bible every single day, that just becomes who you are. You, now that inner man, it wants to be fed. He wants to be fed. You have to keep your body in subjection. Any athlete knows that you have to keep your body in subjection because if not, that flesh will take over and you'll sit on your couch and eat potato chips and everything else and just do what it wants to do because the flesh is no good. Amen? All right, so you've got to keep that thing under subjection or you'll become vanity too. Look at verse 14, Habakkuk 2:14. Now look at the contradiction in here. So for the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. That's a millennial passage. So what is he saying? You're over here working for very vanity. You're working in the fire for nothing. You're working. You got bags with holes in them, as he says in Haggai. You're working for nothing. Why are you not getting any good product, any good fruit? Because you're over here worshiping idols. You're doing things in the works of the flesh, and that's why you don't benefit. All right, but here he says, for the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters covered the sea. Look at Isaiah chapter 11. Look at Isaiah chapter 11. He's going to say the same thing in Isaiah chapter 11. This is where the wolf lays down with the lamb. All right? For sake of time, look at verse 9. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. See, that's in contradiction to the vanity that man produces. When the Lord Jesus Christ returns, his knowledge of the Lord is going to cover the earth as waters cover the sea. So that's a millennial passage. So that's in contradiction to verse 13. All right, look at verse 15. Woe unto him that giveth his neighbor drink, that putteth thy bottle to him, and maketh him drunken also, that thou mayest look on their nakedness. Notice, I want you to notice in this passage, woe unto him that giveth his neighbor drink, that putteth thy bottle to who? Him. And maketh him drunken also, that thou mayest look on their nakedness. What you got going on here? You got sodomy. It didn't say look on her nakedness. It said look on his nakedness. You see how that thing started? Pride, right? Fullness of bread, abundance of idleness. This is what it turns into. That's why the Lord calls it Sodom and Egypt in the tribulation. That's how far your mind can go down. He gave them up to a reprobate mind. Became useless, vain in their imaginations. What do you think America's turning into? Reprobate mind.
Right.
Folks, you got to be careful about what you put in that mind of yours and those images you put in there. But I like to watch, you know, football. The problem now, though, is you can't even turn on a football game. Every commercial is nothing but a bunch of wickedness, fornication, sodomy, gambling. Boy, they're shoving that down our throats, aren't they? I can't just turn on a football game anymore because all that stuff comes with it. And that's, you know, what has happened is whenever you start to just kind of make excuses for sin and say, well, it's not a big deal.
Right.
It's not a big deal. You become vain in your imaginations, and the things that you used to reject, now become, your convictions now become conveniences.
That's exactly right.
And then all that stuff starts setting in, and you, next thing you know, you're watching stuff you never thought you'd watch. Don't have a prayer life. Don't study that Bible. You're out of fellowship with Jesus Christ.
That's right.
And you're out there walking in darkness. How do I know? I've been there, folks. I'm not up here trying to be super spiritual. I just understand myself.
Right.
And if you don't know yourself, your heart's desperately wicked and deceitful above all things. Who can know it? Well, the Lord knows my heart. Yeah, He knows it's wicked.
Right.
People say, oh, the Lord knows my heart. Yeah, it's wicked. Deceitful above all things. Mm-hmm. Desperately wicked. Amen? But notice in the passage, notice how that wine is connected with nakedness. Anybody remember a couple people in the Bible, in the book of Genesis, that ate something and then nakedness followed it? Adam and Noah, both those men were told to replenish the earth. Both those men put something in their mouth, and both those men, nakedness came after that.
Right.
Amen. There's your daddy. There's your sin nature. Right? Guess what? Noah had the same daddy, did the same thing. He comes off the ark. The whole world's given to him. What's the first thing he does? He becomes a husbandman. He plants a vineyard. He gets drunk on his vineyard.
Right.
His son uncovers his nakedness. He says, cursed is Canaan.
Right.
Amen. So you see how that thing's connected with it? All right? So you got to be careful about that thing. Look at Micah 2:11. People that kind of want to, it's not a big deal. Okay. It's not a big deal. All right, well, you're setting yourself up for failure. Look at Micah 2:11 for sake of time. I'm not going to read the whole passage here, but look at Micah 2:11. If a man walking in the spirit and falsehood do lie, saying, I will prophesy unto thee of wine and of strong drink, he shall even be the prophet of this people, using lightness. Now you're condoning sin. Now you got these prophets going around. It's not a big deal. Okay, just a little bit won't hurt. I just talked to a man the other day. He's a full-blown alcoholic. His body's wrecked. His life is wrecked. I said, how'd you start? And I'm not saying these things from inexperience. I understand the dangers of that thing, but God gave me victory over that. But the thing about it was, I said, how'd you start? Well, it's just like any other young person going to parties and, binge drinking in college. Started there. Then it became, didn't wake up with a hangover anymore. Okay? Began to be able to function with that alcohol. Just became part of his bloodstream, really. And then got to the point where his body had to have that alcohol. See, the problem with any of those things, I don't care what substance that thing is, you cannot remain temperate. Because your body builds a tolerance. And when it does, it wants more and it wants more. The eyes of man are never full. And you think, oh, I can just play. Okay, you keep playing around with that thing. And the end, there is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death.
Right.
It seems right. Every man did that which is right in his own eyes when there's no king in the land.
Right.
When you don't have any sort of guardrails and you don't have any instruction from the Lord Jesus Christ, from His Word, you'll go down that path too.
Right.
And there might be some in here, you might be struggling with those very things. You say, how did I get here? But I'm saved. Yeah, you can be saved and be a drunkard.
Right.
Or be a drunk, you can be given over to that's works of the flesh. You say, well, that won't be me. Well, that's what he thought too. Those people that live under that bridge down there that we minister to, down there at Carm, not one of those people, if you ever talked to them, ever thought they'd be living under a bridge.
Right.
Little leaven at the whole lump. God doesn't want those things for you. He doesn't want death and destruction in your life, but those eventually, that's what will take place. The drug epidemic that's taking place in this country, right, we got rid of it once with prohibition, and it came back in. And the nation, guess what though? How many people got rich off of prohibition?
Right.
Al Capone and that whole gang? Because man always loves vice. You can't keep that away from man. Wants to do that which is he. Man is wise to do evil. So people got, man, they were paying big bucks to get that liquor, and then that liquor came back in, and you had a whole nation full of drunks, and that's what it's turned into. That's what you see on television. It's not a big deal. Just a little beer,
right.
Just a little wine. And look at it now. The drug problem that's in this country is destroying lives, destroying people. And people want to make that stuff legal. Oh, that's great. And make excuses for it. And I can guarantee there's probably some on the internet getting upset right now. Why? Because I'm kicking your idol.
Hey, man,
you start kicking people's idols. See, and all that stuff is kiddie pool stuff, or maybe for a lot of folks, but listen, I know that's all surface stuff, and we could talk about the inward man or the things going on, anger, wrath, malice, but I'm telling you, we're on the text right here, all right? He says right here, woe unto him that giveth his neighbor drink, that putteth thy bottle to him. Why? Because you're trying to look on their nakedness. Young ladies, when you go out to the, and I guarantee it's going to happen, when you young ladies go out to a bar,
yeah,
all right, because you're going to want to explore those things, and some man comes up to you and wants to buy you a drink. Don't be a fool.
Right.
Why is he trying to buy you a drink?
Yeah.
He wants to look on your nakedness.
Yeah.
That's right there, Habakkuk 2:15. So I'm not harping on that thing because I just want to harp on it for no reason. I'm putting that thing into context so you remember that thing. Maybe that voice will come back in your head. And the Lord might remember you, might make you remember what was preached right here. Amen. All right. Well, I think we went over time there. It's sad that you even have to harp on those things in church nowadays.
That's right.
I was telling these folks, I'll leave with this. I was telling the folks last night that at that Bible study, you know, I do Uber now. I'm kind of retired. And so I do that on the side. And I was taking this guy, picked him up from Farragut the other day. Works at a liquor store, picked him up. I said, oh yeah. He said, yeah, you know. He said, the busiest day of the week is Sunday. Busiest day of the week is Sunday. He said, you know, I thought when they passed that law that you could sell liquor on Sundays, there wouldn't be that many people. But he said, man, that's actually our busiest day because you got people coming in there dressed in their Sunday best. They call it their Jesus juice to get their Jesus juice after they go to church. That's the state of the church. And that's what the lost community sees of Christians. Saved. They're not Christians. They're saved, but maybe saved. I don't know. I don't know what churches they go to. But I'll tell you right now, that's not walking worthy of the vocation wherewith you're called. All right, that's enough there. Y'all have had enough. All right, let's go ahead and pray. Father, Lord God, we just thank you, Lord. We do thank you for your word. Thank you for the truth. And thank you for the things you've showed us in the scripture. I pray that it would touch hearts, Lord, and change minds and cause repentance to happen with your people. And I pray that folks would examine themselves, be more critical of themselves than they were with others. And Father, we just thank you for your word. Just pray for the service this morning. Pray for Brother Barry as he leads us singing. Pray for our pastor as he breaks the bread of life one more time. In Lord Jesus' name we pray. In Jesus' sake we ask it. Amen. 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 All right.